Hello and welcome to Moments Podcast, a bi-weekly podcast where I discuss with guests little life moments. First off, I want to apologise for this episode being so incredibly late. Up until now, every podcast since the beginning of Moments has been recorded in the Cards Against Humanity studio in Chicago. But in the last month, I have relocated and moved back home. So now I'm back to recording in my wardrobe. All that relocation made me put Moments Podcast to the back burner, but we're back on track now. This next episode was completely unplanned. I was in my apartment back in Chicago and a few of my mates came over and we were just sitting outside talking about anything and everything, the kind of stuff you talk about in your early 20s. And Matt McCall, one of my friends back there, started to talk about this incredible moment in his life when he met his sisters. So I had to stop him in his tracks, run and get my recorder and set up. Because of that, the recording quality isn't absolutely fantastic because it was recorded outside. I just want to thank Matt so much for sharing the story. It's incredibly personal and not everybody would be comfortable with sharing it, so I really, really thank him for that. As always, please open up your podcast app, type in Moments Podcast, one word, and subscribe. Give me a like and a review if you're feeling extra, extra generous. This one's a short one. I hope you enjoy it. And again, thank you so much to Matt McCall. This is the moment I met my sisters.
So when I was really young, my parents started telling me about how I was a sperm donor kid, which is kind of a weird thing, you know, because my dad had cancer and that wiped out his sperm cells totally. So when I was like 3 years old, they started telling me like, oh, like to like get you, like we used to go to the sperm doctor. And I kind of comprehended that, but it wasn't until I was about 7 years old that I was riding bikes with my dad, and it just kind of clicked for me, because I'm, you know, I tan, but I'm like a white guy, and my dad's really dark, and he has black hair, and we just don't look similar at all. And he started telling me, like, yeah, like, do you ever, like, wonder about that? You know, like, where you came from and stuff, and I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, like, we went to, like, a sperm donor to, like, get you and explain that he had cancer, and we were riding bikes, and it was, I'll never forget the scene, like, on this exact corner by one of my childhood houses, just like kind of sweating and being in the sun and being like, whoa, like that's crazy. And it like clicked for me, like looking at my dad and looking at myself, like, yeah, like obviously, like we're not like related. Like I saw when I didn't like had no idea like about my biological father and stuff, and like I would see a man on the train and just like see like a certain facial feature and be like, I wonder if it's that guy, you know, I wonder if that's him. So it like kind of like went on for a few years where I just kind of accepted it and it was fine. And then I kind of found out and started wondering about like, hey, like it's kind of weird to be born that way. Like that's not like how most people are born. And I started realizing like, oh, there are probably like others out there and it would be really interesting to meet them. Cause like when I was like 13, like 12, 13, 14, when I started thinking about this, I was like a real loner. In middle school and stuff, so I felt kind of lonely and like wondered if like if I met these siblings that they'd kind of understand how I felt, which is kind of where that started. And after a while it would kind of germinate in my mind, and it wasn't until I was like probably 18, 19 years old that it became really serious for me. And I joined the Chronicle, which is the Columbia newspaper, and had this idea in my head for like my first like bigger story, like, hey, like I'm a sperm donor kid, like that's kind of a weird thing about me, like how can you turn this into a story? So I started looking at the industry a little bit and did this sort of like quasi investigative sort of personal story that was really kind of like weird and its pacing and everything, and just about like being a sperm donor kid and also how it's so impossible to find your siblings and how that kind of like fucks you up a little bit because you'd like want to know who your father is. You know, like it's such a weird, it's like to everyone who would just like know their like biological fathers personally, it's like obviously like, yeah, like I know my dad, but for me it's like this random guy that's just like out there. So I write this article, and it wasn't until like a year and a half later, probably after that, because I wrote it in like April 2014, and then it was probably like the winter of like 2015 or something, like probably maybe November. And I'm sitting in my room listening to Savage Lovecast, which is just the sex podcast. and these gunshots go off my block. And it just scared the shit out of me. So I was like, oh man, all right, I'm going to kind of have trouble going to sleep right now. And I was wondering about this article, and like wondering like, man, like I wonder if anything ever happened with this. So I go into this website that's called Donor Sibling Registry. In May 2014, a month after I had written this article, somebody had posted under the donor name CB116, like brother, like sister and brother, like we're born on this date. I was like, whoa, wait, what the fuck? And luckily she put her name, Devin Sear, as like her username on the site. So I like look her up on Facebook. I'm like, wait, what the fuck? Like your nose like looks like my fucking nose. Like that's really weird. So I like send her a friend request. She accepts it immediately. And then I like send her a Facebook message. I'm like, hey, like this is really weird, but like did you post on this donor sibling registry website? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, CB116, which is my donor number. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, holy shit, like I'm your half brother. And it's like 1 a.m. because I had been woken up by like this gang violence on the street. So I'm like so delirious, and I'm like walking around the apartment and you're asleep, and I'm like, oh my god, like how do I just keep this to myself right now? So I'm like sending her a few messages, and we like kind of send some like holy shit messages back to each other for like an hour. I was like, all right, like let's talk in like a week. So we like talk on like FaceTime like a week later, and it was just so insane because she was just like there, and it was like finally that person that I'd been like imagining existed, like actually existed, like something I thought would never happen. So it was fucking crazy. So we're like talking on and off, you know, just like sending text messages back and forth, like Snapchatting, because like you like meet someone, it's like they're your biological siblings, but you're like total strangers, which is a really weird relationship. And like I get this text message one night, I'm like sitting at the table like maybe like 3 months later after that, and it's just this picture of a girl who like same like nose thing, blonde hair. She's like, hi, like my name is like Megan Zanin, and she'd read my article that I'd written for the Columbia Chronicle after searching CB116, and totally had been trying to find me on like Twitter and like all these places. And she like finally got me on a text message because I had my number on Twitter, because I did this like internship where like people would probably have to call me back. It was like for writing like obits, so I just never took it off, like so luckily, man, that I never took it down. And it was just like her holding up our donor document, and I was like, this is fucking crazy. So I tell Devin and Megan about each other like the next day to like kind of like give them a moment, because it was so insane. I'm like, I don't want to like be too crazy right now. So we all like FaceTime as like a trio like a few weeks later, and then it turns into eventually like, hey, like we don't really know each other, like let's go on a road trip. Like I go to school in Missouri, my sister Devin, and Megan went to school in Ohio. So they're like, look, let's just all meet up in Missouri and fucking road trip it all the way to California where I live in San Diego. So it's like, yeah, and we totally planned the trip, and like all our parents were on board. And a week before this happens, Devin gets in a fucking car accident, totals her car. It was like this minor bump up, but like the way it hit the car, it like punctured so many essential expensive pieces of equipment in the engine. Yeah, it fucked up the car. So it was like, oh my god, this isn't gonna happen. And then we're like, no, we've got to make this happen, there's no way it can't. So we like go into emergency mode, and like Devin's parents feel so bad about the car that they like offer to pay for a little bit of our plane ticket. And I'm like, look, I already budgeted for hotels, we can just put that into the plane ticket. So like we just bought plane tickets, we like made it work like just in the few days before this was supposed to happen. And my sister Megan drives from Ohio and like meets me. We have this like really like kind of like quiet day where it was weird to get to know each other, but we like kind of broke through. And a day later we like take off, we go on this crazy like connecting flight bullshit. Like some man on the plane when we were going to California like grabs my sister's leg when she's sleeping, and he had like a glass picture of a tiger. It was crazy. That's a totally different story, it's tiger guy. But like we like get to California, and like we get picked up by Devin's parents, and they treat us like we're their own children. And we just like go across the state of California for like 2 weeks, like going to the fucking zoo, like going to the safari park in San Diego, going to beautiful like beaches, going on walks and just like talking and getting to know each other, and like watching like Disney movies and like watching like videos of like Devin when she was like a baby, and like she also had a brother, and like we met him too, was her brother and our like half brother who was a little younger, so he wasn't really interested in the same way that we all were because we're all 21 now. And like it was just insane. It's like it was this trip around California for like almost 2 weeks where I just got to know these people who like are going to be significant in my life forever. And like when I have kids and they have kids, like me and Megan are like only children, like we never thought we'd have like an uncle for our kids or like an aunt for our kids, and we just like have that now, you know, in like our own like weird way by being like sperm donor kids.
Say hypothetically if you were to get married and your sperm were shot, would you?
Totally. I think it's a totally cool thing to like be a sperm donor. Like my biological father wrote this like essay. I wrote this article for like the Chronicle like way back, and I'd never really seen my donor documents. I'm like, oh shit, these probably exist. So I like text my mom like the night before this article's supposed to run. It's like a Wednesday night. I'm like, hey, do you have donor documents? She's like, yeah, like let me find them. And she like faxed them to me like the day this article was supposed to be like submitted, like the Friday before press time. And I still had like 300 words to write. So it's like, shit. And I get these fucking documents, and he writes this little essay about like how like he cares about this so much, like how like I hope like for people that don't have like the ability to have kids, like I want them to, like that would be really important. And like, you know, like I hope to have kids someday too. And he was like an artist, and like he just seemed like such a cool guy, and I was like, holy shit, like that's so meaningful. It's not like some dude who just like jerked off in a cup for money. It's like he like really thought about this. And that's so cool, because I, you know, like I just feel like I'd really vibe with a person like that. So like not knowing who that was always cool, because it was like I can kind of like visualize this like person in my head, like sort of like this misty image of like what my biological father would be. But like at the heart of it, I like had this confidence that he was kind of a good guy, which is cool, because he was like only like 20 years old, but he's like saying these really nice things. I don't know, that was really meaningful, you know, for him to take the time to like write a little essay. And like it's weird that there are probably, I mean, we don't know them all yet, but like there are probably like 30 other people in the country who have like read that and maybe felt the exact same thing, and have just like kind of wondered like, man, I wonder if they're out there.
I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Again, such a huge thank you to Matt McCall for sharing that story. I'll be back same time, same place on Friday week. I hope you have a fantastic fortnight, and until next time, keep smiling, guys.